Okay, we're starting here on the top of Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. I'm Rav Chisdam Rabbi Yochanan. Hallelujah, Kesiah V'Yedidiah. So actually, it should be read, Hallelujah, Kesiah V'Yedidiah Chatein. They are single words. They're not actually comprised of two words that have been put together. Rather, a single word. Rav Amar, Rav says that's true by Kesiah Umerchavia, Achatein, Rabba, and some of the Gears of Rava, Amar Merchavia Bilvad, Merchavia alone. So it's clear that Rava Rabba argues on Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda gave all three words as being a single word. Rava comes along and says, Merchavia Bilvad. Question is, what's Rav's position? Rav, he mentions one of the words that Rav Chisda mentioned. He adds on an additional word. So is he simply coming to expand what Rav Chisda said? Or is he also limiting what Rav Chisda said? So that's the question that the Gemara is going to address right now. Now, in terms of what's happening over here, the Lashon, or the words that they are mentioning, involve a Yud-Keh, a Yud and a Hey at the end of them. And what the Rashbam explains is that Teva Achat Hikimo Hilul, that Hilul is really a nice or poetic form of Hilul, is Hallelujah. And same with Kesiyam V'Yedidiah. He finds other words like that. We have like that. He quotes from Yechezkel, where you have the word Gazar and Binyan, Tachat. Yet they are mentioned as Tachteha and
Hagizra, Habinya.
So these words are used throughout Tanakh, and it's just a poetic form of using the same word, just adding on a Yud Hey at the end. As opposed to the way that we view the word as Hallelujah, which means praise Hashem, saying that it's Hashem's name. So, these Amoraim who say that these are a singular word mean that the Yud and the Hey at the end are not separate from the word meaning Hashem, but rather just a more expansive form of the underlying Shoresh that's in the word. So that's the Gemara's question now. Is he by the who? Merchav Ka, the Rav Chisda Mai. What's the din there? Teku. So for Rav Chisda, we have no idea what he thinks of this Merchav Ka that Rav mentions, because he doesn't address it at all. So there's no way for us to know. Yibayalu Yididya the Rav. So Yididya is the word that Rav did not mention. And the same would be true, we'll see in a second, about Haluka Mai. Tashma. Damarav Yididya Nechlak Lishnayim. Fikach Yididcho Ka Kodesh. So as opposed to the name Yididya, which would be a single word, he says, no, it's really Yidid Ka. So this is the name that Natan HaNavi gives to Shlomo HaMelech. He calls him Yididya. But the meaning of Yididya means Yidid Ka, the beloved one of Hashem. And that's how he reads this name, and that's how Rav sees it. Rav sees Yididya as being Yidid and Ka, versus Rav Chisda's view of it as being Yididya. So that is a machloka between them. Ibailu, Hallelujah to Rav Mai. So Hallelujah to Rav, what's the din? Tashma, Damarav. Chazina Tile Debe Chaviva. I saw the Tile means the Tehillim. The Bei Chaviva is in the Beit Midrash, and the house of Chaviva is of my beloved, or Dodi. The Dod, or the beloved of Rav, is Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia was his uncle, also his Rebbe. So when he says, I saw Tehillim in Bei Chaviva, that's referring to Rabbi Chia's house. Dichtibahu, Hallelu Bechad Gisa, Vika Bechad Gisa. They had Hallelu on one side of the page, and the Ka on the other side of the page, implying that they were separate words. Hallelu, Ka, give praise to Hashem. Upligid Rabbi Shua ben Levi. And this argues on Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Dam Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Ma Hallelujah, Hallelu Bihilulim Harbe. As opposed to the way we read it, which is Hallelujah, implying the Shem Hashem, Rabbi Shua ben Levi says it's Hallelujah. Hallelujah is just a more expansive form of Hallelu. It's just poetic, but also implying numerous praises, like a plurality of praises. Uplige didide adidide. And that not only is Rabbi Shua ben Levi arguing on Rav, or what Rav saw in Rabbi Chia as Tehillim, he's also arguing on his own position. Demar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, basamara mamarot shel shevach ne'emar sefer Tehillim. Through 10 words of praise, Sefer Tehillim was said. What they're about to list here are the words, or the really the verbs that are used in the beginning of a Tehillim. We say Tehillim, we have Tehillim that start Lamanatzeach, Mizmor, all the different introductory words that are used to start out the Tehillim. So he says there are 10 of these words that are used to introduce the Tehillim. And that is, Benitzuach, Benigun, Bemaskil, Maskil to David, Bemizmor, Bishir, Be'ashrei, B'tehilah, b'tefilah, tefilah aniki atof, b'hoda'ah, hodu l'Hashem, and b'haleluka. Gadol mikulam, haleluka. So the last one, the tenth one that he mentioned was haleluka. He says that's the greatest of them all. Shekolel shem v'shevach b'batachat. Because it's really a contraction of the verb hallelu, to praise, and ka, the shem Hashem. So as opposed to what he just said before, that it was hallelujah, which means multiple praises, now he's saying it's really a contraction of hallelu and ka. And that's why it's the best of the introductory starts to these different Pirkei Tehillim, because it includes the Shem Hashem as opposed to the other verbs that are used here, which do not include the Shem Hashem. So that would be Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi being soter himself. Possibilities, it means both. That it has double meaning to it, that both mean hallelujah and hallelujah at the same time. It means multiple praises to Hashem. That's also a possibility. That's the position of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Shir Shibet Torah, the shir in the Torah, Moshe v'Yisrael amrua shash alu min hayam. Moshe and Bnei Yisrael said it when they came out of the Yam. So it's clear to us that as Yashir was a spontaneous response to Bnei Yisrael going through the Yam Suf, the miracle that Hashem performed for them. Halel ze mi'amaro. The Halel referring to the Halel that we find in Sefer Tehillim. Who authored that? Who's the one who put that together? Now this is a broader question about Sefer Tehillim, which the Gemara will touch on tangentially, which is that we know that Tehillim was likely not all written by one person or written by David HaMelech. Possible that David compiled the Tehillim and that he brought it together from moments in time that they were said prior to him or by others, and then he brought them together into a single book or unit together. But it's very hard to argue that David wrote all of Sefer Tehillim, especially since that numerous of the Tehillim actually have names that are mentioned in them, including Libnei Korach, Tefillah Moshe, and that there are specific names that are given within Sefer Tehillim that are obviously not David HaMelech. So the authorship of Tehillim is somewhat questionable, including also in the middle of Sefer Tehillim, it says, Kalu Tefillot David. This is the end of Tefillot David, which implies that whatever came afterwards is not Tefillot David. Now, even though that's found after things that also do not include David HaMelech, right? So it's a difficult phrase, and again, it's difficult to understand. But here the Gemara asks it in a more abstract question, which is the Hallel, all found in Sefer Tehillim, who put that together? So now the Gemara says, Nevi'im, Shebineihem, Teknu Lahen LeYisrael. The Nevi'im amongst them established it for Klal Yisrael. The Gemara will come back to this statement at the end, so I'll just interpret it or I'll translate it now, and I'll come back and deal with it more deeply when we get further down the daf, which is that they were established it for Klai. So, she'yom rimoto al kol perek uperek, that they should say it at each perek, which is an undefined term. What's interesting is that the Rashbam has an additional girsa here. He says al kol perek veperek, val kol regel veregel, which we don't have in our Gemara. And then val kol tzara vitzara, and on any difficult times, shalot avolehem, that is, we say chas v'shalom, or shouldn't happen, that we should have these tzarot, ule shiganig alim, when they are redeemed from whatever difficulty it is, omrimoto al ge'ulatan, they say it on that redemption. So that's the broad statement of where did Hallel come from. Tanya, Hayah Rabbi Meir Omer, kol tushbachot amurot b'sefer Tehillim, kulan David Amran. So here you have Rabbi Meir saying that all the praises in Sefer Tehillim, David saved them. Shenemar. So now he quotes the pasuk from the end of Perek Ayin Bet. So this is why it's very difficult what he's saying, because it says, Kalu Tfilot David Ben Ishai. Al Tigra Kalu Elo Kolelu. All of these are the Tfilot of David Ben Ishai. Now what does that mean? You're in Tilim Ayin Bet and saying Kolelu. Is Kolelu referencing everything that came prior to this? Everything that came after this? Both? Whatever Rabbi Meir says here is difficult because it's hard to understand. He's bringing you a quote from the middle of Sefer Tehillim, not something from the end of Sefer Tehillim. Hallel ze mi'amaro. The Hallel, who said it? Yossi Omer, Elazar bini Omer. That's Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi. Moshe v'Yisrael amru avisha shalu min hayam. They said it when they came out of the Yam, that the Hallel was said by Bnei Yisrael and Moshe when they exited the Yam. V'chalukim alav chavirav lomar. And his friends, meaning his peers or the other Rabbanan, disagree. Should David Amaro? David said it. Binirin dvarav midivrehen. He says, I think that his position makes more sense than their position. Efshar Israel shachatu et pischehem v'natlu luduvehen v'lo amru shira. Is it possible that Bnei Israel were bringing the Korban of Pesach, shaking the lulav, and not saying shira? Now his question is not a generic question, which is, how could it be that they're shechting a Pesach and not saying Hallel? We already know that we say Hallel on the Korban of Pesach. His question is, what did they do from the time that they started bringing a Korban of Pesach until David HaMelech? If David HaMelech was the one who established Hallel, then what, the practice of saying Hallel on the Korban of Pesach only started in the time of David? All the Korban of Pesach they brought until the time of David, what did they do? And the same thing with the Lulav. His point being that you have a gap in time. If you say that it's David HaMelech, you have a gap in time where Hallel didn't exist. And what did you do in reference to these mitzvot, which we know you say Hallel on them? This is a little different than the way it was brought up earlier in the Masechta. Earlier in the Masechta, it was brought up as a bitmia. How is it possible that Bnei Israel are doing such a mitzvah and they're not saying Hallel? Over here, he's saying it in the context, knowing that we do say Hallel in these situations. What happened in the interim period before the establishment of Hallel? Devar acher, peslo shel micha omeid bebechi, Israel omim et Hallel. How could it be that the pesel micha is standing in bechi and Israel are saying Hallel? Now here, the Rishbam brings two interpretations. Is omeid bebechi name of a place? Pesel micha is an avodah zarah, which is very problematic. It's mentioned in the Sefer Shoftim. Chazal bring it all the way back to Kriyat Yam Suf, that it was already there, that Micha brought it across in the Yam Suf. But the Pesel Micha was established at a time that the Mishkan is functioning, and not too far away from the Mishkan at that time. And the Pesel Micha stands there, and it is a terrible indictment of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara in Perek HaChelek in Sanhedrin brings it as a terrible indictment of Klal Yisrael. The Ramban of the Torah, it's actually this week's Parsha, you could see the Ramban on the issues of Sodom v'Amorah and the destruction of Sodom v'Amorah and Lot's behavior here. He mentions this in reference to the Pilegish v'Givah, and he says that the Gemara in Perek HaChelek says that the same time that the Jews are gathering to wipe out Binyamin for what they did with Pilegish v'Givah, the smoke of Pesel Micha is floating over there. What does that mean? That they were charidim al dvar Hashem when it came to their fellow Jew who didn't keep whatever they thought was right. But when it came to Hashem's kavod, they ignored it. They ignored it. They let Pesel Micha be there. So Hashem says, if you're so worried about my kavod that you're willing to kill out Binyamin, what happened to Pesel Micha? How come Pesel Micha is there? So the Ramban says it's a terrible indictment of Klal Yisrael at that time. That how could you go and take up arms against Binyamin when you're not even willing to take care of my kavod, which is getting rid of Pesel Micha? And he says the same thing here in this week's parsha. The Ramban does that sometimes. The end of his perush brings in some of his perushim, the Gabei Navi. But he talks about this, the Gabei Lot, about how Lot's immoral act offering the people of Sodom his daughters. How could a person ever do that? So he talks about that in reference to Pilegish B'Givah and says that this is much worse than Pilegish B'Givah. But he talks about this idea of people acting or doing a closed mitzvah, and yet, on the other hand, it's such an immoral way on the other side, which is here, he's doing Hachnasat Orchim, he wants to protect his Orchim, and he's protecting the Orchim by throwing his daughters outside to the people that are outside the door. What type of Hachnasat Orchim is? Who would ever offer their daughters to a city in order to protect the Orchim? So this is backwards. So here we have, so Peslo Shel Micha Omeid B'Bechi, Pesel Micha that's standing either in a place called Bechi, Yisrael Omrim Et Hallel, and Yisrael established Hallel. And how could have Hallel been written or established at a later period when Pesel Micha is extant and there? The Pesel Micha is a thorn in Klal Yisrael's side. It's a terrible indictment of them. It couldn't be that they established Hallel. Must have been that they established Hallel. That's one possible explanation. That the establishment of Hallel must have been at a time where Bnei Yisrael were not conflicted. Pesel Micha is still around the time of David because the Navi says it was there until they went into Galut. So since it's still there for a very long period of time, then how could it be that the Hallel, which is this praise to Hashem, in contrast to Pesel Micha, it would not make sense. So it must be that Hallel was established at a much earlier time. So that's the one way to read it. So if Pesel Micha is the place where David is, I mean it's in a location near David, then how could he be establishing Hallel? It must have been from an earlier period. And then he says, "Veli nira, bebechi is kinui hu the gnai." Klomar omed besimcha. Bechi is not really bechi; it's a lashon sakinor. It's a euphemism that means that Pesel Micha is all happy, and you're singing shira. That can't be. The two are inconsistent, and therefore it can't be that they establish Hallel at the later time. So that's Rabbi Yossi's proof that Hallel must have been established at an earlier period where they weren't in conflict with this Pesel Micha. Now, Tana Rabbanan, Koshi wrote, V'tush b'chol shamar David b'sefer Tehilim, Rabbi Lazar Omer k'neged atzmo amran. He spoke about his personal issues, personal difficulties, personal salvation. Rabbi Yeshua Omer k'neged tzibur amran. Yeshua says, no, he talked about more generally. Obviously, the ones that specifically apply to David or say they apply to David apply to him. But the more generic Tehilim are an expression of thanks for salvation for the tzibur as a whole. He gave them the way to express, whether it's to express tefillah in the time of difficulty, praise in the time of salvation. David gave us the tools to do this. There are some that apply to David, some apply to the tzibur, not just those that specifically say David in them or specify an event in his life, but rather, hamurot b'lashon yachid, it's written in a singular form, k'neged atzmo. Then that refers to David. It's something that of a response to something personally that happened to him. Amru b'lashon rabim, things that are said, or the tehillim that are in plural form, keneged tzibur. Then those are keneged tzibur. They were words placed for our benefit, so that we had an expression or way to express ourselves in those times in the future. Nitzuach v'nigun latid lavo. Tehillim that it have seems to be both nitzuach and nigun reference things that are in the future. Maskil, ayudei turgaman. If it was the word maskil is used, it means he used a turgaman. Now, turgaman in their time, I always say, was the equivalent of an amplifier, which was that the individual said something to the meturgaman, and then the meturgaman said it to the am. Now, the person whispered to the meturgaman, then meturgaman said it out loud, like a megaphone to the people, and possibly, but it seems in most of these cases it wasn't the case, he translated. So that if the person was speaking in Hebrew, he translated it into Aramaic. But most of the instances where we see Meturgaman, both parties spoke Aramaic, or both parties spoke Hebrew, and therefore there's no translation involved here. It's simply a way to amplify it to the people. It's also in a very hierarchical society, where the people in the position of power don't go out there and speak to the people directly. They whisper to their meturgaman, and then the meturgaman goes out and speaks to them as their spokesman on their behalf. We have that sometimes today, where you have leaders have a spokesman, where they don't go and speak to every issue, whether it's the prime minister or the president. They don't go out and speak about every issue. They have spokespeople that go out and speak on behalf of them for every issue. When they're important issues, they go and speak to the am directly. So the meturgaman is something like that, and he says the word maskil is implying type of relationship where he's giving over the information to someone who's repeating it out loud, that he's mashmiya the rabim. And maskil means lochesh, to whisper, to give it over. L'davin mizmor, if you have the tehillim start out as l'david before the word mizmor, melameid shesharta alav shechina. At first, they had a ruach hakodesh, v'achagach amar shira. And then he says the shira, that's why it's l'david. L'david was inspired, and then mizmor, therefore he's saying. Mizmor le David, on the other hand, if it's the other way around, which is the Mizmor first, and then David, then he sang Shira. The Ruach HaKodesh was brought upon him because of the song that he sang. Lamedcha teaches you, she'en Shechina Shora, lo mitoch atzlut, not through laziness, lo mitoch atzvut, not through despondent depression, lo mitoch schok, not through laughter, lo mitoch kalut rosh, not through levity, lo mitoch dvarim betelim, not through meaningless things, elamitoch tavar simcha shel mitzvah, but rather through the happiness of doing a mitzvah, shenemar, because now they bring the psukim from Malachim Bet with Elisha, so the ta chulim in again, Elisha gets upset, the kings are out to go to battle, the king of Yehuda, the king of Israel, and the king of Edom are all out to battle together, he shows up there, he's not very happy with the king of Israel, and he says at the time, the only reason I'm willing to be here is because of Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda. So that's why I'm willing to give it. But because he's so upset at the king of Israel,
Yehoram,
he couldn't have the nevuah come to him, which he needed. So he says to them, Chulim in again, bring me some musical accompaniment. And as the music played, it brought him back to a better state. And in that better state, he was able to have the nivuah, have the Yad Hashem come upon him. So you see here that something where a person's upset or angry, he's unable to have the nivuat Hashem come. So it's an additional proof to this fact that if you have simcha, it has to come from a certain state of mind in order to have the nivuah, the Ruach Hashem come. And that is proved both by David HaMelech and the difference between the David Mizmor and Mizmor the David, as well as the fact that Elisha can only have the nivuat Hashem after the music is played. Amar Yehuda Amarav, v'chein l'dvar halacha. Same is true that if a person wants to get to the proper conclusion in a dvar halacha, he has to have that same state of mind. So it's an interesting comment here, meaning that a comparison of halacha to nivuah, both from a perspective of there was no longer nivuah, and the world of halacha, or the da'at omot of halacha, takes over, almost in a sense, nivuah, way that we really connect with Hashem. And he says that the psak halacha, coming to a proper conclusion halacha, also requires this same state of mind. The person has to be in a proper state of mind in order to give a psak halacha. Amar Rav Nachman, chen l'chalom tov. If you want to have good dreams, the same is true. You have to have a good state of mind in order to have good dreams. Ini, Amar Rav Gidol Marav, kol tachal chalom chalom, shiol yishiv lifnei rabo, vein sif tov tov, notfot mar, Tichvena. Then any time the Chacham is not sitting before his Rebbe, and his lips are quivering, dripping, mar, you know, bitterness, tichvena, he should be singed, taken away. Shneamar, siftotav, shoshanim, notfot, mor over. Obviously, that's not the meaning of the pasuk. The simple meaning of the pasuk is his lips are like the lilies, notfot, mor, dripping, mor over, flooding, or mor over, like a flooding or a flow of mor. Al tikrei shoshanim. So now here comes the rereading of the pasuk. Ela shoshanim. Not shoshanim lilies, but shoshanim means learning. Al tikrei mor over, that it's flowing mur. Ela mar avar, that there's bitterness that's going through. So here you see that there's this requirement that when you're learning Torah before your Rebbe, that you be quivering, you be in a state of trembling and fear. That's not what's described here in terms of learning halacha. Okash, abba rabo, abba talmida. Depends who you're talking about. You're talking about the Rebbe, you're talking about the student. So the student has to be in that state of trembling and fear. The Rebbe who's teaching has to be in a clear state of mind. Both of them are talking about the Rebbe. Lokasha, mekami de patoch, adabater patoch. Depends where. And is that before he starts teaching or when he's teaching? Gemara gives an example. Gehad rabba mekami de patoch lu de rabbanon. Before he started teaching them Torah, mar milta de bdichuta. He used to say over a joke, he used to say, lighten the mood of all the Talmidim there. Ubad chura banan. And then they would laugh or they would enjoy it a little bit. And then, osof yativ be'emto. And when he came to teach, he would sit in fear. Patach b'shmaita. And then he would start teaching. So he would engage them. He would draw their attention through saying something that was a little more light. And then when he got down to learning Torah, then he would do it with seriousness and trembling. Tana banan. Now we came back to this question that we said before. Halel ze mi'amaro. This Hallel, who said it? That was the question that we posed before. Now the Gemara is revisiting it. Rabbi Lazar, Omer, Moshe, Yisrael, Amrua. This is Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi that we saw before, who said that it was said by Moshe and Bnei Yisrael when they left the Yam Suf. B'shash Amdu Al Yam, when they came out on the other side of the Yam, meaning after they crossed to the Yam, Hey Mamru, Lo Lanu Hashem, Lo Lanu. And they saw the waters closing on Paro and everybody else. They say, wait, make sure Hashem, this shouldn't happen to us. Or, as the Medrash says, when they were on the side of the Yam Suf, they started to worry that Paro and his army would follow them through and come through the other side. Yeshiva Ruach HaKodesh v'amralem, l'ma'ani eseh. I'm doing it for me, meaning that I'm wiping out the bad people, and you will be okay. L'ma'ani, for my sake, everything will be okay.
Meaning, not necessarily in your merit, but because it's a Kiddush Hashem, and I want to establish my name here, therefore you will be saved in this instance.
So that's the first attempt to explain where Hallel derives from. Then we have now a series of statements from the Tanaim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yeshua v'Yisrael Amrua. Yeshua and Yisrael said it, B'shash Amdu Alehem Malchei Kanan. And they're going to battle with Malchei Kanan. Himranu Laulanu. Like Hashem, don't let this happen to us, whether it's the defeat, whether it's, as described in Sefer Yehoshua, these avanim that came from the sky and poured down on the Malchei Kanan. Umeshiva And then Hashem replies, the Ruach HaKodesh replies to them, L'mani mani aseh. Same setup, and we're going to see this over and over again. Rabbi Elazar Amodaye Omer, Dvorah Barak Amruah. Dvorah and Barak in their battle with Sisra, say this, V'shah Shemar Alem Sisra, Im Amru Lo La'anu Lo, that again Hashem, shouldn't be for us, whether it's when Hashem's taking care of them, when the stars are fighting, Min HaKochavim, they nilchamu, the stars fight against them, and Nachal Gerafim, the waters come up and sweep them away. So don't let that happen to us, or is it prior to when they're going into the battle? It says, Ruach HaKodesh Meshiva Omer Atlehem L'mani, L'mani Aseh. What they're focused on here is times of national crises that they were saved from, that would necessitate what seems to be halal. I think Lolano is just an indication of difficulty, a time of difficulty, not that that's the third paragraph, that's where they started the Tehillim. It's just to say that this was a serious enough issue that they're calling out to Hashem for salvation. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Chizkiah v'siyato amru. Chizkiah and his compatriots, when Sancheriv attacks them in Yerushalayim, said it. Shalom aralem Sancheriv amru Lolano. Meshiva Ruach HaKodesh, same thing. Rabbi Kiva Amer, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah Amru, Shashamar Alem Nebuchadnezzar Asha, when he wants to put them into the fire. Eim Amru, Lolanu, Umeshiva Ruach HaKodesh. Biyos Yogli Amer, Mordechai V'Aster Amru, Bishashamar Alem Haman, Arasha. Eim Amru, Lolanu, Umeshiva Ruach HaKodesh. Here you have the series of Tanaim indicating where supposedly Hallel originates from. The way Rashi reads it, it's very interesting. The Rashbam disagrees with Rashi over here. Rashi only says, Klomar, Af Yoshua v'chol Yisrael Amruah. So Rashi says, yes, it's true that it was established in the time of Moshe and Bnei Yisrael when they came out of Mitzrayim. And then all of these Tanaim are saying, Af. That it was an addition, it was said here. In addition, it was said here. That's the way Rashi reads this. The Rashbam disagrees and says that can't be the case. Because if you say that, that means in the end, nobody disagrees with the Chachamim. And now the Chachamim Omrim, Nevi'im shebeneihem tiknu lahem l'Yisrael, sheyomrim oto, alkol perek v'perek, again, alkol regel v'regel is the girsa of the Rashbam, alkol tzara b'tzara, shelo tavo lahem l'Yisrael, ushenigalim, omrim oto al gilulatan. And as the Rashbam points out, this is the statement we saw before from the Chachamim, it seems that the Chachamim are disagreeing with the previous statements of the Tanaim. Whereas according to Rashi, if you say af, 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 in the end, that's exactly what you have. What's mentioned here by the Chachamim is exactly what the Tanaim are saying. And all the Tzarot, they said, Halal. So it says, what's the difference then in the opinions? So that's the way that the Rashbam reads it. And he says, no, they're all arguing. The Tanaim before were saying, this is where Halal was established. Not that also here they said, Halal. Now you have a statement here, and this is what I wanted to discuss. The Rashbam interprets the statement and says, Alkol perek uperek. Alkol perek uperek, the meaning of that, and again, he has Alkol regel veregel, is, these are the periods of times, like Rosh Chodesh and Yamim Tovim, that Hallel is said. Now that's very interesting, because Rosh Chodesh, we don't say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. We say it today as a minhag. We say Chatzi Hallel. But it's not something that was established as a full Hallel. The Rashbam mentions the fact that we say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh and Yamim Tovim, that's a whole perek uperek, or something that is a recurring event. So I think that's why he mentions Rosh Chodesh, even though we don't really say it on Rosh Chodesh as a full halal. Nevertheless, the halal that they're mentioning here is something that is a recurring event, whether it's a Yom Tov every year, so on and so forth. Then, there's another type of halal, the halal which is Al Kol Tzara B'Tzara, which he quotes as Chanukah. Things like Chanukah, where there was a salvation, and because of that salvation, they said halal. This doesn't come from the Torah. This becomes because of an event. An event that was significant enough that they said Hallel for being saved and then established that Hallel would continue to be said afterwards. So according to the Rashbam, the two forms of Hallel, one form of Hallel is a Hallel that comes out of the Torah, from the holidays of the Torah or the mitzvot of the Torah. There's another Hallel that comes from the Tzara. But the Tzara means it establishes Hallel that will then be said year after year, like we do by Chanukah. So that's the two types of Hallel that the Rashbam speaks about. There are other Rishonim that take up this issue, and in taking up this issue, explain it differently. That is, the Rabbeinu Yerucham explains that there's a difference between these types of Hallel. There's Hallel that's Kol Perek Kol Perek, and that's an Hallel after the fact. Not at the moment of the event. It's a Hallel which repeats year after year to commemorate the event. Whereas, there's also a Hallel which is Al-Kol Tzara B'Tzara, which is a spontaneous Hallel. Hallel for the salvation or being saved at the time of the Tzara. She says that the statement of the Chachamim incorporates two types of Hallel. There's Hallel that is a recurring Hallel. And then there's Hallel that derives from a spontaneity of being saved at a moment of salvation. And therefore for him, Kol Perek includes Chanukah. I mean, that's Regalim, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah. Those are Hallels that were established to be there for the duration. On the other hand, the Hallel of Kol Tzarah B'Tzarah are what the Tanaim were even describing before, which is events in history where all of a sudden it was a major crisis that Hashem saves them, and the people feel the salvation, they break out in a Shira, in a song of Hallel. That's the way the Rabbeinu Rucham looks at it. The Rabbeinu Yonah, on the other hand, along the lines of Rabbeinu Rucham, says that Kol Perek is what we call Kriyat Hallel. Kriyat Hallel, which has all the trappings of what we have today. You have to say all the paragraphs that are mentioned there. There's a format to it. And yes, if you make a bracha on it, like Morat Hallel, you have to say all of them. Whereas the Shira that is brought, Shira is something that's spontaneous. And in being spontaneous, it does not have those trappings. You can make a bracha on it, and you can say whatever you want. Meaning that bracha doesn't mean you have to say the whole Hallel. The bracha says, and then you say whatever comes out. Meaning that the feelings that are expressed at the time, that is the Hallel.
The Griz in Hilchot Chanukah
wants to, basically, Rabbi Rucham and the Rabbeinu Yonah explain that there are two types of Hallel. It's what we call a Hallel of Kriya and a Hallel of Shira. It's Hallel which requires reading of the Hallel, and there's Hallel that is a Shira, which is a song. The reading of Hallel is something that they established for the generations, and that requires Kriyat Hallel. Kriyat Hallel is trying to bring us into the mood, meaning that we're trying to reenact the events and trying to get back into that sense or feeling of Hallel to Hashem. There's a Shira, Hallel of Shira, which is something that comes out spontaneously, which is where a person feels the necessity to give Hallel to Hashem, and that comes out as Shira, and that's the second form that is being described by the Rabbeinu Rucham and the Rabbeinu Yonah, that is called Shira. Now this does have implications in terms of the Seder night. There's a machloket amongst the Rishonim Geonim as to whether you say a bracha on the Hallel in the Seder. The Ran believes that you do say a bracha on the Hallel and the Seder, whereas Rav Haigon says there is no bracha on the Hallel and the Seder. One of the biggest problems with the Hallel and the Seder is that there's a hefsek. You have the meal right in the middle, which is mafsik the Hallel and breaks it in half, which is one of the biggest problems of making the bracha on the Hallel. But Ran says we do require a Hallel. So now, if you say that, then you also explain why there's a halucha, you make a bracha at the end of the Hallel. That's the closing of the Hallel, and then you have a bracha on the beginning. So the Ran has it consistent. There's a bracha on the beginning, and there's a bracha at the end. The Rav Hai says that there is no bracha because this is a shira, basically. And that's the way to explain the difference between them. That the Kriyat HaHalel, according to the Ran, on the night of Pesach is exactly that. It's like, it's the normal Hallel that we would say is a Kriyat HaHalel. What about the meal in the middle? Spoken about this in the past, that the meal in the middle of Hallel is part of the Hallel. It's the Thanksgiving meal, and therefore it's not necessarily disparate or a hefsek for the Hallel. And that's why you can make a bracha on it. Whereas the Rav Haigon views the Hallel in the night of Pesach as a shira, of what we said before, the fikach. Person has to view himself as if he left Mitzrayim. You have to reach that state of being where you feel like you left Mitzrayim, so that the Hallel that you're singing is not a Hallel of Kriya, but rather a Hallel of shira. It's a spontaneous shira, which, according to Rabbi Yonah, does require a bracha, but even if it, according to others, where there is no bracha for it, because of the nature of this type of shira, there is no bracha. Even though you have the halucha at the end will be a birkat ha-shir rather than a birkat ha-halel. So that would explain the difference in opinions. The other thing that you have to note here, and has major implications of halucha, is Nevi'im Shebeneim Tiknu Lehem Yisrael. The Nevi'im established for Klal Yisrael. What did they establish for Klal Yisrael? A Kol Perek that they said to Elim, that's already might be derived from the Torah, that might already be in place before the Nevi'im. So what were the Nevi'im attacking? A Kol Tzarah B'Tzarah. That whenever they were saved, that they would say Hallel. What does that mean they were attacking? That they were given the right to B'nai Yisrael whenever they felt that spontaneous need to say Shira, they're given that right to do it? Or did the Nevi'im give them permission that when they had that feeling of Shira, and that salvation, that then they could establish it forever, that Hallel stays around? So is it that the Nevi'im put in place a mechanism so that when we went through a major event, that if we said Hallel, then you could establish Hallel to be a long-standing practice to commemorate that event? Or is the Takanat HaNevi'im simply that you can say Hallel in those events? You want to establish that to be a long-standing Hallel afterwards, you need a Navi to put that into place. That's a separate issue of putting it in the long term. Also might have to do with the difference of how you view Kol Tzarah B'Tzarah, meaning that the Rishbam, who views it as being Chanukah, thinks that that's already embedded in this Takana. that Chanukah could be established. According to the others that think that Sarev Tzara means the spontaneous type of Shira, that means that it doesn't necessarily have long-term implications of establishing Hallel. Obviously it has implications in the modern era of whether one who says Hallel over the establishment of the State of Israel, is that require a Takanat Nevi'im, or is that already embedded in this Takanat Nevi'im? That's number one. And number two, there are other issues about the Hallel. Rav Avadya Yosef has a very long tshuva about this issues or the issues that arise within saying Hallel. Now, what is clear from this, and this is what I think is important, is that this statement of the Chachamim says that we have to have Hakarat HaTov, which is that we have to recognize when Hashem does give us salvation, when Hashem does things, significant events for us, that we do have to give thanks to Hashem. Whether that results in the establishment of Hallel on the long term, that's a separate halakhic issue. But there's clearly a necessity to recognize significant events and to give thanks to Hashem for significant events. Whether that's halakhic Hallel or not halakhic Hallel, that's a separate issue, but not to brush aside or ignore the fact that events are taking place with the Yad Hashem, that we have to acknowledge that. And if we're kafui tov, then we really say in some sense that Hashem, we're not so interested in the Yad Hashem participating here. All right, Amar Rav Chisda. This is a very interesting Gemara here. Chisda says, Haluluka, Sof Pirka. Whenever the Tehillim have Haluluka, then it means the end of the Perek. Rabbi Barchana Una Amar, Haluluka is Reish Pirka. It's the beginning of the Perek. Now, we have the Prokim split up, so it's a little harder for us to understand this. But for instance, if you had it written out, like in a Sefer Torah, the word Haluluka appears, and it sits between two Pirkei Tehillim. Does Haluka belong to the previous parak, or does it belong to the start of the new parak? Is it an introduction or a conclusion? Now, wherever it has Haluka twice, there's no question. If the tail end before ends with Haluka and the next one starts with Haluka, it's clear that that's the ending and that's the beginning. The question comes up when there's a single word Haluka that sits between two Pirkei Tehillim. This is the position, it's the end of the parak, previous parak. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna says it's the beginning of the next parak. So now, I'm Rav Chisda. Chazina lehu letile debe Rav Chanin Barav. I saw the Tehillim, their Tehillim. Dichtibu Haluka be'emsa Pirka. It was written in between. Alma, misfekele. He didn't know which way to go. So they put the Haluka as if it belonged to both. It sat between them. Am Rav Chanin Barava. Akol Modim. Everybody agrees. So now here we're going to go through five Tehillim where everybody agrees that this is the case. The first one is Kuf Mem Hei, which we're familiar to, Ashrei. Tilat Hashem Yidab Rapi Vivarech Kol Basar Shem Kachol Ulam Va'et. Then, the Haluluka, the Batrei, V'anachno Verech Ka is from a different Perek Tehillim. So that's not the end. This is the end of that Perek Tehillim. Then, Haluluka the Batrei Reish Pirka. That Haluluka that comes after that belongs to Perek Kuf Mem Vav and not to Perek Kuf Mem Hey. So you don't end off, which is Tilat Hashem Yidab Rapi Vivarech Kol Basar Shem Kachol Ulam Va'et, Haluluka. That Haluka does not belong to that. That Haluka belongs to the beginning of the next parak. Then, in Tehillim Kuf Yud Bet, Rasha Yir'eh V'chas, Shinav Yacharok V'namas, Tavat Rishayim Toved. This is the conclusion of Tehillim Kuf Yud Bet, which is the Rasha will see this and be grieved, upset, angry. Shinav Yacharok V'namas, he'll gnash his teeth and melt. Tavat Rishayim Toved. Desires of the Rishayim shall be lost. Haluka de Batrei. The Haluka that comes after that is Reish Pirka. Is the beginning of the subsequent Perek of Kuf Yud Gimel. Now, this one is very difficult. This is in Perek Kuf Lamed Hey. The problem with this is that the Gemara is about to quote a Pasuk in the middle of this Tehillim. So, it's not clear what they mean over here. So it says here, in Tehillim of Sha'omdim Bebeit Hashem, the Tehillim of Ovim Hashem, Haluka de Batrei. The Haluka after it is Reish Pirka. Is the beginning of the next parak. Well, let me read to you Tehillim Kuf Lamed Hei. Tehillim Kuf Lamed Hei begins Haluluka, Halu et Shem Hashem, Halu Abdei Hashem. Second pasuk is She'omdim Beveit Hashem Bechatzrot Eit Elokeinu, which is what they just quoted. Third pasuk is Haluka Kitov Hashem, Zamru Lishmo Kinaim. Now, what does that mean? Haluluka is the Reish Pirka. That's the third pasuk in this parak Tehillim. This is the second pasuk they're quoting. Now you're saying the third pasuk is the beginning of the parak? Well, which is what happened to the two before it. All right, so the Tosafot says, maybe, the first two psukim are a parak by themselves. So, well, that doesn't work so well because we have enumeration in the Gemara of how many Pirkei Tehillim there are, 147. And then we have no more nor less. And the Gemara has to deal with that other places where they try to break a parak of Tehillim in half. They actually have to combine two other prakim in order to keep the number standardized. So because of that, he says, I can't just all of a sudden add in a parak. He says, beyond that, we never find a parak that's two psukim. So that's very difficult. Kuf Lamed Dalet, which is right before that, actually is a three pasuk parak. It's a very short perek, which is Shir Malot Tinei Baruch Hu Et Hashem Kol Dei Hashem Omdim Beveit Hashem Balelot Suyu Deichem Kodesh Ubaruch Hu Et Hashem Yerech Hashem Itzion Oseh Shemayim Va'aretz. So what Tosafot suggests over here is these two psukim belong to that perek. These are the last two psukim of the previous perek. And so Pasuk Aleph that I read you before and this Pasuk Bet are the end of Kuf Lamed Dalet. And Kuf Lamed Hey really starts at Pasuk 3, Pasuk Gimel, which is Haluluka Ki Tov Hashem. And that's where it begins. So that's the way Tosafot deals with this issue and actually re-parses the Perkei Tehillim to say that the first two psukim of Kuf Lamed Hey belong to Kuf Lamed Dalet. Karai Musifim Afetelu. The people who are Biki'im in Tanakh add these two psukim, which is Minachal Baderech Yishte Alken Yerim Rosh, which is the end of Kuf Yud. Haluka de Batrei Beish Pirkada. What comes after that is the beginning of the next parak, which is Kuf Yud Aleph. Haluka de Hashem B'cholev. Then, Reshit Chochma Yirat Hashem Sechol Tov L'chol Yisem Tilato Omedet La'ad. So that's the end of Kuf Yud Aleph, which is what we say after Modeani in the morning. That's the pasuk that's brought down. To be careful where you say it exactly, because you're saying Shem Hashem. Modani, you can say before you wash Negavasser. This you can only say after you wash Negavasser. So a lot of people who say it after they say Nitilat Yidayim, Asher Yatzar, Elokai Neshama. Then they say Reish Chochma. They bring this pasuk down. So then the Halukka, the Bashrei Reish Pirka. Halukka after that is belongs to the next parak, which is Kuf Yud Bet, which is Halukka Asher Ishiret Hashem. So Neima Kitanae. Let us say that this machlok between Rav Chista and Rav Rabba, Rav Hunimna is actually a machlok at Tanaim. We had here a list of items where nobody disagrees, that the Aluka belongs to the next parak. And then we have a argument between Rav Chista and Rabba, Rav Hunimna. So, Ad Heichan Hu Omer. This was from our Mishnah. Where do you say to in the Tehillim for the night Hallel in the Haggadah? Shai Mermit Am Eim Banim Smecha. Ad Chalamish Laman Yomayim. Beit Shammai says until the end of first parak Tehillim in Hallel. And Beit Hillel says until the end of the second Perek Tehillim in Hallel. Tanya Yidach, we have a bright that says, Achein Ehu Omer, Beit Shammai Omerim Ad B'Tzeit Yisrael Mimitzrayim. You say until Tzeit Yisrael Mimitzrayim. Beit Hillel Omer Ad Lolanu Olo Hashem Lolanu. Until Lolanu Hashem. Gemara is suggesting here that Beit Shammai's opinion is a machloke Tanaim as to where the Hallelujah belongs. Because one place he says, Eim Abanim Smecha, and the next one he says, B'Tzeit Yisrael. The argument might be about where the Hallelujah is. Is it Eim Abanim Smecha Hallelujah? Or is it Eim HaBanim Smecha? And then Haluka B'Tzeit Yisrael Mimitzrayim. And the difference between them is how they express where Beit Shammai's opinion goes until. Shemayla B'Hag Kamiflegate. This is what they argue about. Two versions of Beit Shammai. Not Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, but the two versions of Beit Shammai. B'Hag Kamiflegate Ad Eim HaBanim Smecha Savar Haluka Reish Pirka. He says until Eim HaBanim Smecha because he thinks Haluka belongs to B'Tzeit Yisrael. Man Damar Ad B'Tzeit Yisrael Savar Haluka Sof Pirka. He says B'Tzeit Yisrael because he thinks Haluka is Eim HaBanim Smecha Haluka. So that's how he expressed it. So now Rav Chista mitarets the Temei. Rav Chista answers according to his shita that it's always the Sof Pirka. Uliyama Sarei Luka Sof Pirka. That's Eim HaBanim Smecha Luka. Mandamar B'Tzeit Yisrael Shapir. So the one who says B'Tzeit Yisrael, I understand because it's Eim HaBanim Smecha Luka. And then B'Tzeit Yisrael. Mandamar Ad Eim HaBanim Smecha Ad V'Ad Bichlal. He's coming to teach you that it includes Eim HaBanim Smecha. He's trying to teach you that Ad V'Ad Bichlal. Had he said B'Tzeit Yisrael, you would have thought you also have to say that paragraph. So he didn't want to say that. So he says, Eim HaBanim Smecha, in order to tell you that's the end. So he says, V'neima Ad Hallelujah. Well, if he's already saying that that's the end, then I'm saying, Eim HaBanim Smecha, Hallelujah. Let him say the end of the pasuk. V'chitem Adolo Yadinan, Hai, Hallelujah. If we just said Hallelujah, we wouldn't know which Hallelujah you're talking about. Neima, Hallelujah shall Eim HaBanim Smecha. Kasha. That's a problem for Rav Chista's position. Now, Rabbi Rav Huna mitarets the Tamei. Rabbi Rav Huna says it's Reish Pirka answers according to Yitzhak. Kuli Amaluka Reish Pirka. Everybody agrees it's the beginning. Mandamar Ada Eim HaBanim Smecha Shapir. The one who says until Eim HaBanim Smecha makes sense because the next one begins Haluka B'Tzeit Yisrael. Mandamar Ad B'Tzeit Yisrael Savar Ad V'Lo Ad Bichlal. It says Ad V'Lo Ad Bichlal. So if you had said Eim HaBanim Smecha, then you would have thought, you don't say that pasuk because I don't include the pasuk. Whatever I'm saying to you, that's the end. So name Ad Haluka. Well, let him say then. Say Haluka B'Tzeit Yisrael then. When the one who quotes it for B'Tzeit Yisrael, why does he say, V'chitem Adol Yadin and Haluka, we all know. Name Ad Haluka B'Tzeit Yisrael. Specified Haluka B'Tzeit Yisrael. Kasha. So each of them have a problem explaining the two positions of Beit Shammai because neither of them include Haluka in the end. Not B'Tzeit Yisrael, not Eim HaBanim Smecha. Establish that that's a Machloket Tanaim. Rav Chista and Rabba Rav Huna can try to answer on their behalf, but in the end, it's questionable why neither of them brought the Hallelujah down. Amar Rava, Kriyat Shema v'Hallel, when we say the bracha of Gal Yisrael with regards to Kriyat Shema and Hallel, The bracha is Ga'al Yisrael. And then the tzlota, that of davening, is Go'el Yisrael. What we say in the middle of tefillah, where it says Vaitaima, was the reason why the Rachmaninu. Tefillah is a request. We're beseeching Hashem. When we're beseeching Hashem, it makes sense to say Go'el Yisrael as a future statement, meaning that a present and future statement that we're asking Hashem to redeem us. On the other hand, the Kriyat Shema and the Hallel are talking about the past. They're thanking Hashem for what happened already, therefore, Ga'al Yisrael in the past tense is the correct formulation. I'm Rav Zevra. Did Kiddusha? In Kiddush you say, Asher Kiddishanu b'mitzvotav. You say it in the past tense, that Hashem who was Mikadeshas with the mitzvot. Did Slotza? In davening you say, Kadeshenu b'mitzvotecha. You say, Hashem should be Mikadeshas. My time, other Rachmaninu, the same reasoning, which is in tefillah, you're asking Hashem for something, you're beseeching Hashem, so it makes sense that we're requesting that the Kedusha should devolve upon us. Whereas, in Kiddush, we are thanking, it's a Birkat HaShevach, that we're thanking Hashem for making us Kadosh. Amar Avraha Bar Yaakov, v'tzarich shiaskir yitziat Mitzrayim b'kiddush hayom. You have to mention yitziat Mitzrayim in Kiddush hayom, k'tiv hocha. The month is kord yom, tzaitcha meretz Mitzrayim, k'tiv otam zechord yom ha-shabbat ha-kadosho. So the correlation between them teaches you that you have to have Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim inside of Kiddush. We discussed this before with regards to the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham who says that person is possibly Yotze Yitzchiyuv Kiddush when he davens on Friday night. The Minchas Chinuch challenges that and says, I don't understand. You're missing an integral part of Kiddush, which is Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim. How are Yotze Kiddush in Shmon Esrei if you don't mention Yetziat Mitzrayim? So there are a number of answers that are given on behalf of the Magen Avraham. One of them is that the establishment of Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim is simply an institution derabbanan. It's an asmacht on the pasuk. So Kiddush d'oraita does not require Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim. It's only midrabbanan that you require it. And that's in the Kiddush Alakos. But Kiddush Mido, right? So you can be Yotze without Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim. The other possibility is that the Kriyat Shema beforehand, the Bracha of Gal Yisrael, or Hashkivenu, that precedes the Shmon Esrei, is enough of Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim to count towards that in terms of Kiddush. So the Vayichulu that you say in Shmon Esrei, that Vayichulu, together with the Smichat Gula Tfila of Gal Yisrael, or Hashkivenu, that is enough to bring you to the Kiddush. The last possibility is that the Kiddush is really Vishamru, that is said before Shmon Esrei, not according to the Gra, but according to others where you say the Shamru beforehand, that Shamru in conjunction with the Hashkivenu gives you the Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim and the Kiddush, even though the Shamru is simply a Shevach, not necessarily the Kiddush. Nevertheless, that might suffice to be the Kiddush with Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim. So those are the ways to answer on behalf of the Magen Avraham as to why Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim is not an issue for him. Tosafot over here says something very interesting. He says, brought from the Maharam, Sheyesh b'midrash lefish Mitzrayim abdu b'em b'yisrael b'parach. U'parach ba'atbash gal teim lachot arbaim chaser achat gets you 39. Shnig alu b'mitzrayim yisrim al shabbat l'shpot me'otan lametemet malachot. But the source for lametemet malachot is also in Yetziat Mitzrayim. Which is very, very interesting because then Zecher Letziat Mitzrayim takes on an additional meaning, which is that it's also the source for the 39 Melachot, not just the Mishkan, but also Mitzrayim. And that means that you might have different manifestations of Shabbat or the Melametem Melachot on Shabbat that they derive from different sources, and that might be why we have different Kiddushim, and we focus on different themes within Shmon Esrei, whether it's Yetziat Mitzrayim or Ma'aseh Bereishit, because there really are different types of Shabbat, Shabbat as a Mikra Kodesh, as well as Shabbat Bereshit. Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Tzlota Matzmiach Keren Yeshua. Bracha with regards to David in davening is Matzmiach Keren Yeshua. Again, a Lashon of Bakasha, that Hashem should bring the hope and salvation to us. The Aftarta Magen David. The bracha in the Aftarah is Magen David. And that's based on Vasita Lecha Hashem Gadol. Hashem says to David, I will make you a great name. Kishem HaGdolim. A great name like those of the greats. The greats are Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Tani Rav Yosef, Zeu Shomrim Magen David. Based on Vasita Lecha Hashem Gadol, Kishem HaGdolim. That's why we say Magen David. So just like we say Magen Abraham, so too we say Magen David. And as Rashi points out, we can't say Magen David in Shmon Esrei because we already said Magen Abraham. It would be inappropriate to be Chotem with two different names or two different themes. So therefore we put Magen Abraham into davening, and we have Magen David in Aftarah. In addition to that,
Matzmeach Keren Yeshua, which is a Lashon Bakasha, is more appropriate for davening. And then we have the bracha of Magen David by the Haftorah. Yermish Ben Lakish. Bezcha the Goy Gadol, last week's Parsha, Zeshu Omrim Elokei Avraham, making into a great nation. That's why in Shmoneh Esrei we begin Elokei Avraham. Vavarechecha, Zeshu Omrim Elokei Yitzchak, I will bless you, that's when we say Elokei Yitzchak. Vagadla Shemecha, Zeshu Omrim Elokei Yaakov. That's why we say Elokei Yaakov. Yochu Yechu Tmim B'kulan. You would think you would end off Magen Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. Tamal Omar Ve'yeh Bracha. Becha Chotamim. Only with your name will they end. Ve'en Chotamim B'kulan. And you don't make a Chatima. We don't close with the others. And that's why we end the Bracha with Magen Avraham. Amar Rava Ashkechatina the Sabei B'Pumpedita. I found that the elders of Pumpedita, and as the Rashbam points out, that's Rav Yehuda and Rav Eina, the Atvei V'Kamrei. This is what they were saying. B'Shapta Ben Slota Ben Kiddusha on Shabbos. Whether it's in Kiddush and whether it's in Davening, Mekadesha Shabbat. B'Yom Tova on Yom Tov Ben Mitzlota Ben Kiddusha. Whether it's in Davening or whether it's in Kiddush, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Azmanim. V'Amin Elohu. Ano. I said to them, Adarabba. I think the other way makes more sense. That Slota, when it comes to davening, Ben B'Shabto, Ben B'Yom Tova, whether it's Shabbat or Yom Tov, Mikadesh Yisrael. B'Kiddusha, when it comes to Kiddush, D'Shabto, Mikadesh Shabbat. B'Yom Tova, when it comes to Yom Tov, Mikadesh Yisrael V'Azmanim. V'Ana Amina Tamedidi. I'll explain my reasoning. V'Tamedidhu, and your reasoning. Tamedidhu, Shabbat Gviya V'Kaimo. Shabbat does not require our intervention or to make it Kodesh. It's already Kodesh from the time of creation. It's already kadosh. It doesn't require any changing. It's something that recurs without any input from us. So then for Ben Mitzlota, Ben Kiddusha, Mekadesh Shabbat. That's why you said, Sabe Tum Petita, Mekadesh Shabbat. Yom Tov Yisrael Hu Dekavilei. When it comes to Yom Tov, that's Nikva Yadei Klal Yisrael, because we are given the right to set Rosh Chodesh and to set the dates of the year, whether it's through leap years, through leap months. We are able to maneuver the calendar, and how we maneuver the calendar will result in when Yom Tov falls out. So we're the ones who actually Yom Tov. So therefore, Me'avrei Yarchek, because they do the Ibur of the Yerach of Bali Shanei, and they set the years and the Ibur years. Therefore, we say Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. Mekadesh Yisrael, who therefore is Mekadesh the Zmanim. Time of the D. My reasoning is Tlota de Barabi Mito Davening, which is done in public, which is done by the Tzibur. Mekadesh Yisrael, out of Kovar Tzibur, we say Mekadesh Yisrael. Kiddush de Yochidito, Kiddush, which is said privately at home. There, we follow Shabbat, Mekadesh Shabbat. Yom Tov Mekadesh Yisrael Zmanim. Falohi, his reasoning doesn't make so much sense. Slow to be yachid milete. First of all, who says you can't daven by yourself? Yes, better to daven with the tzibur. It's a good idea to daven with the tzibur, but that doesn't preclude someone from davening by yachidu. That's the case. You have times when Shmoneh Esrei is be yachid. B'kiddusha b'rabbi milete. And don't we have sometimes have kiddush in public when you make kiddush in shul, like we saw earlier in the perek, or when they do it in a large group, you have kiddush b'rabim. So Rava Savar Zilbatar Ikar. Rava says we'll go after the main location where this is found. Most of the time, davening is b'tzibur. Most of the time, kiddush is b'yachid, and that'll be ko veya. Ula Barav Nochid Kameh de Rava. Ula Barav was davening for the Amud. He went down before Rava. Down means he goes down to Yordim Lifnei Ateva. That's why the minog is to have the place where the shot stands be down or below the floor level, because Mimakim Kraticha Hashem, I called you out from the depths. So Amar Kesavi de Pumpadita, he went ahead and davened like the Savi of Pumpadita, Velo Amale, Velo Mide. And Rava did not object to his davening in the manner that the Savi Pumpadita had suggested, which means here he was in public davening, so either he said Mekadesh Shabbat or Mekadesh Yisrael V'Azmanim. Alma Chadar Bei Rava. Now it's clear that Rava reversed his position because he didn't stop him. He thought he was wrong based on his own position that he should say Mekadesh Yisrael. Then he would have stopped him and said, say Mekadesh Yisrael. The fact that he didn't stop him and let him practice like the Savi Pumpadita to say either Mekadesh Shabbat or Mekadesh Yisrael V'Azmanim shows you that Rava retracted his position. Rav Bavur de Rav Huna. Rav Natan, who's the father of Rav Huna. Now our Gerson Agamara is Brei de Rav Natan. It's Rav Natan, the father of Rav Huna, the son of Rav Natan. Which is obvious. If Rav Natan is Rav Huna's father, then obviously Rav Huna is Brei de Ravi Natan. So therefore, the Sotah Shas takes it out and says it should read Rav Natan, the father of Rav Huna, and that's it, without any Brei de Rav Natan. Nachan Kamei de Rav Papa. He went down in front of Rav Papa, meaning that he was the Shliach Tzibur. Amar Kesavi de Pumpadita.
said the bracha like Subvah Dipum Pedito, which means Mekadesh Shabbat or Mekadesh Sova Zmanim. B'Shabchei Rav Papa, and Rav Papa praised him. Then this is another piece of evidence, maybe that Rava for reversed his position because Rav Papa is a Talmid of Rava. Amar Avina Ana Ikle the Sura. When I went to Sura, I made the Mereimar. When I was there visiting Mereimar, Nachigamei Shlucha the Tzibura, and then the Shlitzbur went down in front of him to lead. V'Amar Kesavi Dipum Pedita. And he followed that position of Sovei de Pumpadita, Vahava Meshat Klele, Kuli Alman, and the people were trying to silence him, saying, oh, you got it wrong. Amaloh, Merimar said to them, Shavkua, leave him alone. Hilchata Kesabe de Pumpadita, Alocha is like the elders of Pumpadita, Vahavu Meshat Klele. They did not silence him anymore. Some have a girsa here, but Hilchata Kesabe de Pumpadita, Alocha is like Sabe de Pumpadita, which is our practice. On a Shabbat, Bender at Shemon Esra Kiddush, we say Mekadesh Shabbat, and on Yom Tov, we say Mekadesh Yisrael Vehazman. Okay, next Mishnah, Mazgulo Koshelishi, they poured for him, they diluted for him the third cup, and used that to bench on Rivi'i, they poured for him the fourth cup, Gomer Olavet Halel, you finish up Halel, Halel what we started with before in the Haggadah, after we had finished the Haggadah, we had begun the Halel. Now we finish off the end of Hallel now. V'omer la birkat ha-shir, say the bracha of the shir, which the Gemara will discuss what that is. Bein ha-kozot ha-lalu, between these cups, im rotzeh l'shtot yishteh, you can drink. Bein shlishi v'ri lo yishteh. Between the third and fourth cup, you may not drink additional wine. So between the first cup and the second cup, or the second cup and the third cup is obvious because that's the meal. Between the first and second cup, you can drink, but not between the third and the fourth cup. Amalei Rav Chanan the Rava Shmamino Birkat Amazon Tuna Kos. From this you can conclude that benching requires a kos. Amalei Arba Kasei Tiknu Rabbanan Derech Heirut. Rabbanan Mitakin to have four kosot on the night of Pesach because Derech Heirut in the way of demonstrating our sense of freedom. Kochad V'chad Navi Be Mitzvah. And we say we'll do a mitzvah over each one of them. Each one of them is defined by the mitzvah upon which it revolves, or the mitzvah is performed with the wine together, to give it the hashivut and the shir and the sheruch that's associated with it. So because of that, benching is associated with the yayir, not because you have to bench al kos, but because we want the kos to be associated with something. The arba kosim connected the pieces or structures of the night, and so therefore we put a mitzvah next to each one of them. And that's why we bench al kos, but from this you cannot bring evidence to the fact that you always have to bench al kos. Now, in conclusion, in terms of benching al kos, Tosafot discusses back on Kuf Hei, as to whether there's an obligation to bench on the coast. The Rambam says, clearly there is no obligation to bench on the coast. It's not necessary at all, not with one, not with three. Tosafot back on Kuf Hei brought two opinions. He brought the opinion of Rabbeinu Yechiel, who thinks it is proper to bench on a coast all the time, and that's what's happening here. You're benching on the coast. Whereas Tosafot himself suggests over there that maybe this is only connected to Zimun. It's connected to three people. When you have a Zimun, that you should bench on the coast, but B'yachid, you don't have to bench on a coast. The Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramak Pask bring all three opinions down, and the Mishnah Berurah says, favor the opinion that you should bench al kos when you have a mezuman, but when you're yachid, you don't have to bench al kos. The Mishnah Berurah says that if it's a place where they don't have a lot of wine, or wine's not always found, they don't even have to bench al kos with a zimun. But the Mishnah Berurah does write with the Gabe Shabbat, that even though during the week you may not bench al kos, on Shabbat, there might be an additional inyan to bench al kos. So then, if you have a zimun on Shabbat, there's even more reason to bench al kos. Alright, we'll stop over here. The Gemara tomorrow will discuss what the Birkat HaShir is, as well as whether there should be a fifth cup at the Seder.